The Splendor of You. Here is your host, Debbie Sansone Schlaprisi.
Hi, I'm Debbie Schlaprisi. Welcome to The Splendor of You. You know, lately, the culture at large seems to be bombarding us with messages that are contrary to our birthright as children of God. You know, we are a people that were created in the image and likeness of God. You're created in the image and likeness of God. I'm created in the image and likeness of God. And, you know, we hear that so often, but there's a dignity and a power and a truth in that that's important for us to embed ourselves in and to remind ourselves, particularly when the other voices are telling us something contrary. And those voices can be really loud. You know, we are made in the image and likeness of God. And the handprint of God is upon you, upon me, stamped indelibly on our hearts and our souls. You know, some things say made in China or made in Italy. On you, on me, it's made in Jesus. You know, made in the glory and the love of God. Before you were even born, you and me, Scripture tells us, that Jesus already had us in mind. He loved us even before we were created, before he put you in your mother's womb, me in my mother's womb. And despite, my friends, despite our personal flaws and the brokenness of our society at large, at times we are good. Scripture tells us what? In Genesis 1, God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God looked at everything he had made and found it, what, my friends, found it what? Very good. That's you. That's me. Sometimes we have to be reminded of that. You and me, we are what? What God has made is very good. You are very good, and despite what we may continue to hear from some that are even at the highest of positions in our land, it is wrong to paint all of us with one sweeping brush of evil. God's voice is never one of angst and accusation. Remember, a dear Holy One shared this with me, and it's been such a help for many years in my life, and that is the acronym SAD. What does SAD stand for? Seduces, accuses, and then despair. The evil one does what to us? Seduces us into sin, then accuses us, and then what happens? Despair. There is never a solution with evil. There's never any way for us to be sorry enough, apologize enough. There's never enough. There's never a way to grow past and eliminate the accusation or the sin. What happens with the evil one is the evil one beats us down into submission, continuing to accuse us until we're broken, and nothing of who we are remains, at least in our own minds, including our basic goodness and our freedom and our truth, the sense, the facts of God's love. He died for you. He died for me. When accusation never stops, and when we're beat over the head with the same messaging that we are bad, we can be assured it is not the voice of God. You and I are called and loved by God. He is trustworthy. He is divine wisdom. Our Catholic Christian faith is built upon what? Faith and reason. Faith and reason will never cower from the truth. Faith and reason never cowers from common sense, natural law, science, never. Be on the lookout. Be on the lookout. And as I say this, share this with you, I share it with myself, I remind myself, be on the lookout for that which brings you down and hammers continually that you are bad, with really no real healing in sight. The way to freedom is to go to our Lord, admitting any wrongdoing, and begin again with God's grace, begin again. My spiritual director used to say to me, Debbie, quit concentrating so much on your sin and what you did wrong. Say you're sorry, move on, keep your eyes on God. Stop keeping your eyes on what was wrong, what went bad, what wasn't right. Move on. Keep your eyes on God. Don't turn in on yourself. You and I were called to do what? Confess our sins to a God who meets us with open arms in the sacrament of reconciliation. You know, I know that you've heard this example, but I just love it, this story and the parallel of the prodigal son and the father and our Lord. You know, in the story, in the scripture story of this prodigal son, now the son messed up left and right, please, over and over. But when the son comes back and is going to his father, the father already, before the son even arrives, is running out to meet his wayward son. And what does he have? He's planned a celebration, you know, and feasting. This is symbolic of our God. That's not me talking, friends. That's the desert fathers, the holy ones. God meets us, embracing us, loving us as we approach him in sorrow for our sin. He has his arms outstretched, ready to hug you, me, saying, come on, come on. It's all right. We'll move forward. Be sorry, and let's begin again. We can make the good even greater than the evil. God does not attack us over and over, reminding us and accusing us of an evil and telling us over and over that it's in our blood and bones. It's just there. This country, as well as you and me, we are made for freedom. Freedom. In our Declaration of Independence, what's declared as a nation? What do we say? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What does all of this have to do, the Declaration of Independence, with you and me in day-to-day life? Like, you know, hey, it's today. I might have work. I might not be feeling real well. I might be going to Mass. I might be bedridden. Who knows? It might be a young person on the way to school. Somebody, whatever, wherever we are, single, married, old, young, in between, whatever. What does all this have to do with you and me? It's a reminder to you of who you are. Do you know who you are? You are unique and matchless. You are created by God. You are a good idea. If you weren't, God wouldn't have bothered with you. He would have passed on to another. You're a good idea. I know I've repeated this before, but there was an awesome nun. It's Sister Regina Marie in California. Anyway, bottom line, I remember one day she said to me, Debbie, I was really down on myself. And she said, Debbie, you're a good idea. And I sort of looked at her like, oh, yeah, sister, I know, you know, kind of a nunny sweet thing to say. But this was no sweet sort of patronizing Pollyanna kind of lady. What did she say to me? She said, Debbie, listen to me. You're a good idea. If you weren't, God would have passed right over you and gone on to another. But he didn't. He made you. So, honey, face it. You're a good idea. Do you and I, do we make mistakes? Sure we do. Have we made mistakes as a country? Of course we have. And of course we do. We are called to do what? Confess, move on. We don't remain bogged down and in the mire of whatever is our wrongdoing. Remember my spiritual director, a very, very holy, beautiful bishop, who said over and over to me, Debbie, keep your eyes on God, not on your sin. Move on. Be sorry. Move on. Change. Be who you are. Remember what St. Francis de Sales says to us. I love it. I repeat it all the time, but I don't think we can hear it enough. And that is, do not wish to be anyone but yourself. Do not wish to be anyone but yourself and do that perfectly. To do that perfectly, my friends, takes some work. It takes some, I sinned. I'm sorry. I accept your forgiveness, God. I trust in your forgiveness more than my own sin. And where are you calling me now to live in the present moment? That's what we're called to, my friends, as Catholic Christians. Why is it important for you and me to get the truth of who we are before God? Three reasons. Number one, we have to be reminded of the truth of our existence so that we may live up to it. Years ago, a smart, wise woman, Molly Kelly, a fabulous national, maybe even international, chastity speaker, taught that we have to keep the moral bar high. If not, when we fail, which as fallible human beings, we're going to fail, we won't hit bottom. There's room to rise. She used to say, we're going to live up to our expectations. If our expectations for ourselves or our young people, our kids, or if those are low, well, just know that's what's going to be met. We're going to live up to them. You and I, our kids, all of us are worth the truth. We can keep that moral bar high. We can respect one another to know that, yes, this isn't easy to live at the level that God calls us, but He walks it with us. And we need to keep it up there because when we keep it up there, my friends, we can get there. When we keep the expectations or objectives, our goals too low, what happens? We might meet them or we might even go below them. You and I are worth more than that. Keep the moral bar high. It's necessary for us to know who we are so we can live up to it, so we can keep reaching up with God beside us, helping us stretch. Number two, without knowing that we come from God, we won't return to God. We won't go back to God day by day, week by week, even after our mistakes. We'll do what? We'll desert. We'll turn our backs on the source and summit of the life and breath of our being, our souls. And since we are fallible human beings, we're going to make mistakes and believe ultimately that what? That we are the source and summit of our happiness, our peace. We will ultimately fail miserably, no matter what guise we try to put on. Whatever we try to, that guise that we place on of whatever kind of justice we're claiming without God, it's done. It's gone. Forget it. You know, oftentimes I do this when I remain in my problems, when I ruminate over my problems and my issues, when I fail to just leave them to God, turn them over. Instead, I say, God, help me. And then I sit there and I think and I think and I ruminate and I ruminate and I worry and I worry. Now, frankly, God gave us brains to think and we're called to think. But friends, we are not called to ruminate. We are not called to obsess. We are not called to have inner anxiety and frustration. We are not called to that. We have to learn over and over, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. You know my heart, dear Jesus. Take care of everything. Jesus, I surrender this situation to you. Take care of everything. And number three, the third reason of why it's important for you to get the truth of who you and I are, who we are before God, number three is without the truth of our existence, that we are created and loved by God, what happens? Despair steps in. Despair is one of the final four tools of the evil one. How does it work? The four D's. Actually, it's the four D's and the two I's. Begins with what? The evil one begins with its disappointment. We're all going to get disappointed. But then, this is where we have to watch it. It's a slippery slope. The four D's, disappointment. Then we stay in that, we bask in that, we ruminate in that, we just keep hanging out in that mire. And then what happens? Discouragement. And then what? Doubt. Why am I even praying? Does God even care? Is He even there? What's the story? And then despair. The last nail, you know, in that coffin that closes us in. disappointment, discouragement, doubt, and despair, and those with the two eyes, which are isolation and inadequacy. That formula does what to us? It leads us to absolute despair. Our ego takes over instead of the reigning, loving, and forgiving voice of God. And we end up, what? Completely powerless, enslaved, chained in our own anger, resentment, frustration, obsession, discouragement. And maybe at times we then get impressed with our own grandiosity that I'm going to solve it all. I can figure it out. I'll work it out. We have no way to go but down when that starts taking place in our lives. But my friends, think of Our Lady. What is she doing? Most of the images that you see of Our Lady, what's happening? She looks so calm, so beautiful. Her hands are either opened up or they're in prayer, opened up in anticipation of receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what our Lord is calling her to, or hands folded in prayer. And in the midst of all of that, she is stepping on the serpent's head. Her foot is on the snake. You and I have friends in high places. Our Lord, Our Lady, Father God, the Holy Spirit, sweet Jesus, Blessed Mother and the saints, Saint Joseph. You and I are called to remember that euphemisms that drip like honey and yet can cut like a knife, those are lies. Abortion that's packaged as something that's beautiful and good, that's a solution, that's an answer for a woman in trouble or a father in trouble. Euphemisms that drip like honey and cut like a knife. And then what happens, friends, before it's over? We become prey to groupthink. We no longer think independently. We no longer think as individuals that are unique and matchless. We're just this one big cattle car that's all involved. They're either patted on the head like children or dismissed as not smart enough to handle what's going on. You and I can miss out on the life that God has ordained for us without the truth of our existence. Because without question, despair will set in. My friends, in closing, I hope that maybe you see in a new way, perhaps with God's grace, that you are created in the image and the likeness of God, that in a new way you recognize the legacy that you are called to as His child. Yes, you and I make mistakes. We sin. And as a country, we make mistakes and we sin. But as children of God and as a country under God, we can be forgiven and move on to all that we're created and founded to be, living in this present moment. You and I are not victims. We are a people that are strong in the power of God. In a life that may not be easy, it's not easy, but God helps us, and with Him, we can do all things. And that's not me just saying that euphemistically or in some Pollyanna way. It's the truth. Look at the lives of the saints and what they've been up against and the miracles and how with God's grace they have literally walked through fire. Speaking of fire, in closing with this show, I ask you to hold on to listen to Jordan St. Cyr sing a song entitled Fires. Quickly, I'll tell you the story behind it. Obviously, I didn't know about him, but I was sent his song by a beautiful, holy young friend who shared it with me. And this young man goes on to explain that he sings this song in light of what has occurred with his little girl. He has a little daughter that I think 14 months ago or so was born with a rare brain condition. And this song, he said, reminds him of who he is, that with God, no matter the circumstances, he need not be afraid, that it may not be easy, but that God will make him stronger and that good will result from whatever is going on. And so, in a simple way, this man is reminding you and me who our God is. He's mighty and powerful, and that our God is walking with us. And there is no need to be afraid, for His mercy is yours in the midst of whatever you may be going through right now. Circumstances that are close to your heart are just what seems to be bombarding us on a national level, both whatever's outside of us and whatever's within us and whatever's touching our lives very closely. Jesus is with us. He's with us. And if we just embrace that, a priest recently said to me that Jesus is closer to me than I am to myself. So my friends, listen to this song, particularly the words, and see what you think. God bless you, and thank you for tuning into The Splendor of You. Be encouraged. You have splendor within. You are indeed a good idea. God bless you. That's The Splendor of You, www.splendorofyou.com. God bless you, and listen on. Thank you.
This has been The Splendor of You with Debbie Sansone-Schlaprezy.